Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 61, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. Today, we're going to talk about whether or not you really have to be super mom, your little ones turning two and beyond, and we're going to congratulate a new mommy beta that's pregnant. One of us on the line is pregnant. I am happy to say it's not me this time. We have Jennifer and Alex. So if you've been reading mommybeta.com, you know which one is pregnant. It's Jennifer. Congratulations, Jennifer. We're so excited.
14 weeks?
14 weeks tomorrow, Friday.
Oh my goodness. So that's normally when you get out of the sickness period, right?
Normally. I actually didn't have morning sickness first time around and haven't had it this time either. Or, you know, any sickness, I guess. Couple days, handful. I've had a headache here or there. The main, complaint I guess I can have is just being exhausted.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Just always wanting to nap.
Yeah. It's harder when you have a little one, right?
It is. But when she does nap, and it's usually in the afternoon that I get tired. And so when she has been napping, I have been guilty of taking a little cat nap or a power nap.
Good for you. No reason to feel guilty.
Yeah.
Well, I need to be working, but I also am reasoning with myself that this probably won't happen again. You know, if I have two and if we go for a third, then, you know, I'm not going to be getting to nap on the couch most likely because I'll have one of them up at some time.
A third? Wow. You're already thinking two babies in front of yourself. Good for you.
Well, I think most people, when they, you know, start thinking about a family, like, how many do you want to have kind of thing? For me, it's always been two or three. So you never know if it's going to happen. So you might as well relish the moment while you can.
That's true. I had a doctor recently tell me, she said, oh, do you plan to do this again? And I was like, no, I think I'm done at two. And she goes, yeah, I always said two hands, two babies, which was kind of a funny way to put it.
Well, you know, by the time I have the third, then I won't have, you know, three babies. I'll have two and a little kid.
That's true. It's, yeah, you know, it really is the more the merrier situation. You realize when they come, you know, you can't realize your life without them. But
Josh and I battle about this all the time because I've always wanted three and he's always wanted two. So we said, okay, well, let's finally get pregnant with number two and see what happens. And I think if we have a boy, it might be easier to convince him because he just doesn't want three girls.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm screwed if we have two girls because, well, I would be so happy. But, Josh, that means no chances of having three for me. But he's so irrational. He's such a guy. He says when you go from two to three, everything changes. When you go to restaurants, it's harder to get a table because you need a five top instead of a four top. The car that you get, you have to get a larger car because you can't fit three car seats, or, you know, or a booster seat and two car seats in the car. I was like, oh, I never thought of all these different things.
Yeah. Tom says the same thing. But my sister had three to begin with, so I've learned quite a bit from her. My mother-in-law had five, you know, so it's doable. And I've just been around a lot of people who've grown up from bigger families, bigger meaning like three to five lately. And it's really amazing to see them as an older family and all the love and support they have for one another. And I think as a parent, I would like that. As a sibling, I would like that. So that's just sort of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. And it's so special now to see my little ones really connect with one another now that Ava she's 10 weeks old now. And she really lights up when her brother walks in the room and she wants to play with him. She's smiling at him. She can't really reach and grab things yet, but he better just wait because once she does, he's not going to escape. It's really sweet to see their relationship evolve that way, and I just feel so lucky to have a front row seat. But I also find it so interesting how, you know, all three of us sort of embrace this emotionally much different. Like, I was just nervous, I think, my whole first trimester. Like, what have I done? Is this going to be okay? Is it the right thing for him? And your post was so beautiful about how you're so excited to see this process unfold again because you've already been there, and you don't seem nervous at all.
Well, I was actually a big worrywart the first trimester, but more so about, is this baby okay? Am I doing the right things? Oops, sorry. Probably work call.
Telephone.
But it's funny because most people are more relaxed the second time around in terms of not being so uptight about what they put in themselves.
Yeah.
You know? But I feel even more uptight about that this time around.
Well, I did too, but that's because throughout this podcast and throughout this blog, all we do is point out what's scary.
Because you saw that post I wrote a week ago. I'm like, this is why I'm a nutcase.
I can't help it. Like, I can't look at plastic without thinking poison. So, yeah, I think it just gets worse, maybe because as we are new moms, we educate ourselves more and then we realize how scary the world is.
Yeah, I still stand strong by the information overload. And it's not that ignorance is a bliss. I know what's out there, but I choose only to consume and really think thoughtfully through some of the stuff that's going to make me worry. I just can't digest it all, I think, the way you gals do, because I would worry and stress myself out. So I've learned to pick and choose what's important to me and what I'm going to let go.
Yeah.
I just try to forget it. And, you know, that's a big thing that happened this pregnancy that I noticed quickly was pregnancy brain. And you didn't really seem to have that, Natalie. You're always, what? You know, quick-witted and, you know, here you are studying for your, was it GMAT?
Yeah, so. I took the GMAT when I was pregnant.
I'm not. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I could barely remember how to spell my name, much less an equation.
Okay, but I have to confess that I didn't do well the first time around. I took it when I was 9 months pregnant for the first time and I didn't finish the math, so I had to go and take it again. So that's pregnancy brain for you. If I didn't have pregnancy brain, then I might have done a little better, but I had to take it again. I got like maybe 40% through the math and time ran out. It was such a bummer.
Oh, well, we're not going to feel sorry for you because you're a genius anyway. And so the pregnancy brain actually, thankfully, is seeming to taper off. I know it's going to get worse probably as, you know, time goes on. But especially in the first part of the pregnancy, I just felt like I was walking around. My head was full of air. I mean, I don't know.
When you walk into a room, you don't know why you went in there.
This is really what airheads feel like. And I don't like it. And then, you know, what you said about, am I doing right by him and that kind of thing? I think I would have felt similar to you had I gotten pregnant earlier, or like, you know, at the same time in Elle's life that you did with Miles, because I wasn't mentally ready for, you know, to be pregnant again already when she was, how old were you? Was he like 12,
13 months?
13 months. Gosh. Yeah. And, you know, and a lot happens between 13 and 18 months or 20 months or whenever I got pregnant with Elle. And Miles seemed to advance pretty quickly in terms of being communicative and, you know, he's potty training well and all of that stuff. So every kid goes at its own pace. And the same has been for Elle and I. I just, you know, was waiting to a time where I felt like, okay, this is the right time. Let's start now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luckily, you know, it happened when it did, but we did have a chemical miscarriage, as I mentioned in the post. And
I didn't know what that was. I had to Google it.
Yeah.
So, do you want to explain that?
Sure. It's, I guess like 75% of women have them. They just don't know because they're not like me and taking a pregnancy test before they're supposed to have their period. And, it's basically the egg is fertilized enough so that you can tell that you're pregnant, the HCG levels rise, but it doesn't implant. And so if it doesn't implant, it's not going to grow. And basically it's flushed out as, you know, the other eggs, I mean, another egg that you have that month would be like, so it happens around your period or around that time.
Oh, okay. That must mess with your head though.
So, it does, yeah, because I planned like a really special thing for Tom the first, you know, whenever he found out we were pregnant, and I made fortune cookies. I learned how to make them online, and I typed out little fortunes like expect a bundle of joy in 9 months, and it was like you're going to be a big sister and that kind of thing. And we had like Chinese food for dinner that night, and then I told Tom, I was like, oh, I made fortune cookies. And I love the fact that he wasn't even like, oh, okay, caught off guard, like I'm just some cookie was, you know.
I can't believe you could hold it in that long.
Well, it was just a day, you know, and I love to plan things that are going to make other people feel special. And so that's just, I mean, I know it's the moment special anyway, but I just like doing stuff like that. So it was fun and it was special. We took pictures of it and everything. And then, you know, a couple days later, the other thing happened. But and so the next time around, I had just bought this shirt the last time so we could tell my parents that I was pregnant for Elle. And it's like, happy to be me. I'm a big sister to be. And it has her name on it. And it's a little T-shirt. And that's how I told my parents this time. And that's how I told Tom. I just had it on when he came home from work. And she was throwing a fit and having a tantrum. As he's holding her, looking at he says, is her shirt for real?
Oh.
An hilarious moment of like screaming toddler, oh, we're pregnant kind of thing.
Yeah, look at this. We're going to multiply it, this craziness. The other day, I was video chatting with my dad and his wife, and Clayton came in, and Miles woke up from his nap, and Ava was starting to want to eat. And so they could see the four of us in one screen, and Clayton picked up Miles because he was, you know, yelling for his milk or something, and Ava was kind of rooting around and starting to, and I was like, we gotta go. And my dad goes, wow, that's a screen full of chaos right there. You guys have to get out of here. And I thought, yeah, but it's beautiful chaos. It's chaos that I've learned to embrace. I'm okay with it.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of chaos, Reese turned two. So I wanted to talk to Alex a little bit about this because Miles is about to turn two. The twos, are they really so terrible?
No, so far for me, no. And I say so far because that could change any day. But I laugh. I tell my mom, you know, this has been so easy compared to what I've seen. Yeah, she was pushing for a while and pinching, and she's into the no, like, Reese, let's change. No. I'm like, oh, geez.
Pinching. Yeah. That.
No, it's very tactile, pinching. Right?
Huh? Yeah.
No, pushing. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you said pinching.
Just pushing.
Too.
No.
Oh,
okay. Hopefully not pinching. And I think just from what I've seen from others, like, it could be way worse. And I don't know if she really is an easy toddler or if I just, you know, it's my perspective because I, you know, had a really tough time with postpartum depression. And so anything compared to that, I feel like has to be easy. And so I don't know which it is, but yeah, so far I'm loving it, and we'll see if her terrible and when her terrible twos kick in, if I feel the same.
There are definitely some moments where you feel frustrated at this point because they start to assert themselves and you want something different, that you want them to do something that other than what they want to do. And that's frustrating. But I was thinking about this the other day and I'm like, well, I know him. Like, I know this dynamic. I know what to expect. So even when he's asserting himself, doesn't feel terrible to me, but it might look to someone just looking in my house that looks like a terrible thing to deal with, right? I don't know.
No, sometimes I have to, I'll ask her to do something and she'll just look at me straight in the eye and goes, no. So I don't say anything and I walk out of the room. Part of it's frustration and the other part, I just want to laugh. I'm like, you're two. Who do you think you are telling me no? You know?
I was struggling with that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I was struggling with that yesterday about laughing or getting on to Elle because she's was digging in this box of these other kids thing at a school that has their names marking their plants, and she was pulling the markers out of the plant box.
Oh no!
And I felt so guilty because I don't want those kids to not be able to identify their flowers, but she was having so much fun digging and everything, and I was trying to remain strong, but you just can't help it sometimes when they look at you with that smile.
Yeah, that reminds me of I read this book about siblings, which I do recommend, The Siblings Without Rivalry. And there was a part in the end where the younger sister wouldn't stop biting the older sister. So they sat them down to have this meeting. And she was in her terrible twos. And she said, you know, I want to write down what we're feeling right now. So we'll let the little one go first. And since she couldn't write yet, mommy will write it for you. And she wrote down, I like to bite people. Biting feels good. It makes me feel good when I bite other people. And the mom's like, I wanted to take this exercise seriously, but how can you not laugh when your 2-year-old says very seriously, biting other people feels good?
Well, they're so, the things they say, they're just so candid. And right now they don't know how to lie. They just say what's on their mind. And Josh is having fun just teaching her to say things. I was having a stressful, I think like something burned on the stove. I was like, oh, damn it. Josh is like, Al, chill out. And Reese goes, Mommy, chill out. I was like, oh, geez. And I started laughing so hard.
It is so,
so
funny.
So she now says, chill out.
Chill out.
So yeah,
they are very strong, though, and they're very stubborn. I don't know how you did this when you were pregnant, Natalie, but it sounds like you didn't really have Miles' fighting back about certain things. But Elle doesn't like to go in the grocery cart. And I don't know if you guys struggle with that.
No, he's not very physical like that. He doesn't fight back physically that much. I think he never realized that he could, or I don't know.
Yeah, she'll like bend over backwards and kick her legs out. What is Reese do?
No, Reese actually liked it. She thought it was a ride. We said, we're going on an adventure. We're going to go get food to make. And she loved it. And now she, at Trader Joe's, they have these little carts. I think I posted about this. So she follows me around with her own cart. So she's doing some grocery shopping.
Those carts are hard to find. They go fast.
Oh, yeah. We go to Costco. In Costco, you know, they have those huge grocery carts that have the two sides.
Yeah, yeah.
You can actually fit both your kids in them. But she doesn't want to go in the cart, and she doesn't want to walk. So she wants me to carry her and try to navigate this big cart. So I have to
bribe her with food. How are you going to do that when you're pregnant? Because you can't carry her the whole – well, I guess you can carry her. It's just
hard. It's hard, yeah.
She likes to be carried a lot. Does mom to be carried a lot?
Yes, yeah, he does. And more so now with Ava, he'll say, Mommy, take Miles. Like, you know, if I pick her up, he's like, well, Mommy, take Miles, or take Miles too. So now that I'm not pregnant, it's fine. But in my third trimester, it was really tough. And especially, I talked about this a little bit, I had all those really bad back issues. So it was tough on me to carry him around and walking up and down the stairs.
For that, I feel really fortunate. Reese loves walking. Although when we're hanging out with Jennifer and Elle and she sees Elle wanting to be held, she immediately runs to me. She wants to be held too. But when it's just us, she walks everywhere. She doesn't like the stroller anymore. And sometimes I just want to get things done. I'm like, Reese, you need to go in the stroller. And she doesn't really like that. Usually I can just distract her and it's fine. But yeah, we walk everywhere.
I was talking to my neighbor and she said that one of her son's preschool teachers gave her this advice. She said, you know, how do I corral him because it's harder with the new baby, but also, you know, empower him and not, because the first couple of days that Ava was home, I realized that I'm telling Miles, no, don't do that. Don't touch her this way. Don't pick that thing up. Don't, you know, and I'm just trying to keep him safe, but all I'm doing is telling him no. And the teacher had said, give them two options, both of which work for you. So when because he gets in on the no, you know, do you want this? No. Do you want this? No. Let's do this. No. So I try and frame it in my head like, okay, what are the two things that I can give him that then he can choose one and both of them are fine? It's tough. I can't always come up with two things because I just want to do
that. That's a really good idea.
Thing.
I do that with Reese a lot. I did that just because my mom always gave us options for everything and that seems to work. And when it doesn't, I've been pulling this a lot, saying something like, you know, if I have a couple of extra minutes, like, Reese, you have 2 minutes. Let me know when you're ready or mommy's going to do it. And then usually within the 2 minutes, she'll come to me. Like if it's just putting her shoes on, she'll come to me and say, Mommy, help, please. But it's, you know, her deciding when it's going to happen. But that's a lot easier for me than fighting with her when really she just wants to decide when it's going to happen. Even if she knows it's going to happen in a minute, she decided.
That's a really great way to empower her. Yeah,
but, it's actually been working. The other thing I've been doing is 1, 2, 3, and nothing happens. The only thing that happens is after I say 3, I warn her. I say, if I get to 3, mommy's going to do it, or you can do it before I get to 3. And so I count. Usually when I get to 2, she runs and does whatever she's supposed to be doing or I want her to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's really good tactic. Maybe I'll try that. And like I said, I'm reading this book called Playful Parenting, and it talks about how to speak to them through play because everything to them, you know, can be a game or is a learning experience that you can do through play. And so I don't know, like that's something that comes hard for me too, where I'm like, how can I turn this into the game when I just want them to get the frick out of the bath?
Right.
So it tends to be a challenge. It's a big challenge. So everything's a challenge. But, you know, this time around, now that I have Ava, I feel like I don't feel nostalgic quite as much that everything is moving quickly. I just feel so lucky to get to know these little kids as their own people. I'm more excited that I have these little people in my life than like, oh, it's going so fast. I'm out of the baby stage. Is that how you feel with birthdays, Alex?
That I'm just overall excited that we got to 2. I remember you said early on when Miles turned 1, you were really emotional and it was really hard for you. And I remember thinking when Reese turned 1, I was so excited. But again, I had a different perspective. I think, than all of you guys did. Because for the most part, from what I could tell, you guys really enjoyed the baby stage. And, you know, for the first 3-4 months, I didn't at all. I don't think I had the opportunity to. You know, and then, and once I got past the postpartum depression, it kind of, you know, the sun began to come out and it wasn't so dark and cloudy. So, yeah, to answer your question, no, I think, you know, just every day goes on and I am enjoying it better and better.
Yeah. Well, she's growing into such a pretty little lady. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
We don't hear that enough as moms, right?
Oh, it's so nice. I was in the grocery store the other day and I did something. Oh, I was Reese and I count eggs and we count fruit. Whatever we're getting, we count and put it in a bag. So I lifted the eggs up and she knows we have to count them to make sure they're not broken and to make sure there are a dozen. And some lady stopped me and she was an older lady. And she said, "That is absolutely wonderful. I don't think parents take enough time to do this." And I was just, you know, some stranger, but it made me feel really good.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, because, you know, sometimes I just want to rush through and I don't do it. But I did it and it's reminding me that I should be doing more of that and just to continue to do it.
You never know when you can make someone's day like that.
Yeah.
So great. Well, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about this whole having it all in motherhood thing again, because that's been something that's big in the news. But we want to thank our show sponsor, Gazelle.com, for lending their support to the Mommy Beta podcast. They are a website that allows you to sell your used consumer electronics for cash or an Amazon gift card or a PayPal payment. So what you do is you look around your house and you see what electronics you have that you're not using or that you might want to upgrade shortly, like a new MacBook, a new iPad, a new iPhone, sell the one you've got now while its value is about as high as it's ever going to be, because remember, your gadgets depreciate every single day. And they'll help you send that thing into them. They will either send you a box or help you print out a shipping label. And then once that thing gets to them, they will wipe out your data. In fact, there was a recent survey of all the sellback programs online. Gazelle.com was the one that actually had the highest rating for wiping data. Every gadget that they had, someone bought back and said, yep, they did in fact wipe out all the data. So if you don't know how to do that, they'll do it for you, although it's a good practice to do it yourself. And yeah, they'll pay for shipping for anything over $1. So it's a really great way to clean out the clutter in your house, you know, get new electronics or get some cash for the things that you're not using. Gazelle_com is how you can follow them on Twitter. We like them a whole lot. Thank you so much for that, Gazelle.com. Moving along, I wanted to talk about something that was in the news, and I blogged about this as well because it was big in my community. I'm a technology journalist in my day job, and Marissa Mayer, who used to be a C-level executive at Google, was hired to be the CEO of Yahoo, and she's become the first pregnant CEO to be hired during her pregnancy. And I saw a lot of people, you know, applauding Yahoo for this, for being so open-minded. And I thought, okay, that's great. And I do think she's a very talented person. I don't know her personally, but I followed her career. But there was this quote that she gave to Fortune magazine when she talked about her pregnancy. And she said, "Oh, well, my maternity leave will just be very short and I'll work throughout it." And that was the one red flag that went up in my head, because I thought, what the heck? That's not a maternity leave. And so I posted about it, and I was wondering if she was saying that because she really doesn't want to take time off work, or she's saying that because she doesn't want shareholders to be worried, or because she works in kind of a patriarchal society. So I wrote this blog post about it, and I thought, well, on the one hand, I would have probably thought the same thing. I actually did think that my first time around, and I felt like a big fool when the baby came, because I could care less about my email when, you know, when he actually arrived. But, you know, I just thought, well, you'll learn, or maybe she won't. I don't know. What was your reaction to this, Jennifer, when you saw it? I mean, can you imagine being pregnant right now and taking on the role of CEO of Yahoo?
No. And it's funny because I was actually trying to launch a company. You know, we've been working on Flacklist for a while, but I remember I was in the hospital sending out emails to friends to try out the service because it was in the initial phases. And I remember being more upset, I think, during my maternity than post-baby about the work, because I thought other moms or people who are expecting their first baby weren't staying up till midnight every night, you know, stressing out over whether a feature was working or something like that. So that was annoying to me. But after she was born, we were really blessed in that she slept a lot during the day. So I was fine working. Now, would I be fine going back to work so soon? I think that's what I would struggle with. And this woman obviously has a lot more on her shoulders and will be not be, dawdling whenever she's nursing at 3 a.m. She's probably going to be writing back emails and all that stuff. And like one of my other moms said, friends said, there's a lot more to motherhood. There are a lot of what ifs, you know. You don't know if you're going to have mastitis. You don't know if you're going to have postpartum. You don't know what's going to happen after the baby comes. So I think a lot more of that is out there than, and maybe she's not focusing on that. And there's no point for her to elaborate on that to the press. But all of us moms, I think, know it. And I actually feel sorry for her because this is a time that I want her to be able to enjoy. And she's worked really hard to get where she is. So I can understand why she's moving forward with this. And yay for Yahoo for giving her a chance and not discriminating against her for that. I do applaud that. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah. So part of me feels like people are being a little bit tough on her. I personally would not do it. Obviously I'm at home 100% full time with Reese and I love it. And I wouldn't change it for the world. That doesn't mean I don't get bored and I miss work, but I'm just not, you know, I have the option. I feel very lucky that I can stay home with her. And that's what I choose to do now. But I feel like we're being tough on her because, you know, this is something she chooses to do. And I think us as mothers should support her. And that's not saying it's the right thing to do. But I think it's between her and her husband. And if she wants to give it a go, hey, you know, let her do it and let's see how she does. And we don't know, you know, we always talked about how it takes a village to raise a baby. And sometimes, you know, the duties of that village are mostly fulfilled by a mother. And maybe this time it's going to be fulfilled by a nanny or another relative. We just, we don't know her side of the story, but I do admire her optimistic outlook. And I look forward to see what she brings to the table as a mother and a CEO.
Right. And Yahoo has been struggling a lot lately. Their share prices have been down. And so it's interesting that they moved their shareholders meeting in the fall to the Bay Area so that she can stay, you know, because she can't travel to New York where it normally would be during her third trimester. So, you know, hopefully they continue to make choices like that where they do actually support her in her endeavor to be a new mom rather than, you know, like, all right, the baby's out now, like full steam ahead, you know? And it was kind of a rude awakening to me when you're pregnant, people kind of give you some concessions in the workplace. But once the baby comes, I realized like, oh, people don't like it when I have my kid crying in the background of a conference call. I better not do that. You know, you don't really get the kid gloves like you wanted. And that was a rude awakening for me too. So I just felt like, oh, you know, poor thing. She might have the same kind of rude awakening as me where you do try and work during your maternity leave, but maybe she won't, you know, maybe she'll have more help than I did. And she, you know, I don't like to make assumptions about other people's finances, but she probably can afford it.
Yeah. I'm sure
well, that's
she can.
It'll be interesting to see what, you know, maybe she has an easy labor and maybe she decides not to breastfeed. Like, think of the easiest possible situation for her. Maybe she has, you know, help full time, either by her family or hired help. And she wants to focus on work. You know, some women are better mothers when they're at work and come home and can spend, you know, the 1 to 3 hours with their children at the end of the day.
Right.
That doesn't make them a bad mom. They just choose to be a different type of mom.
Right. Right. Yeah. And like I said, my hope for her was not that it's, you know, easy at all, because we all know that parenthood is hard in ways that we can't anticipate.
Right.
And that's why that becomes hard.
Yeah.
You know, beyond that, I just hope that it's, like I said, it's not that she continues to be in an environment that helps her. And that, you know, when she does realize, like, I don't want to work throughout the first couple weeks of my baby's life right now, I want to enjoy this, that's supported as well.
Yeah.
So because that big Atlantic piece that we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, the woman did say, that there are changes that we can make in the workplace across the board for men and women that would make parenting easier, and we should do those things. And this may be indicative of that, that we say like, hey, this woman's fully capable. She's procreating, but, you know, she's going to be able to run this kid's life just as well as she runs the company.
Yeah, I think she'll be closely watched, not only by Yahoo board of directors, but by the entire community of mothers.
Right. Which is no harder community to please. We all know that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all supportive, like you guys are saying. But I do think that there are some moms out there who are like, why are you super mom? Why do you think you can do it all? And, you know, I hate what I wasn't on the podcast with the we can't have it all. It's all in perspective of what you want and what makes you happy. So if you want a thriving, successful career and a huge family where you're there 24/7, no, you can't have that. But you can have, you know, you choose what makes you happy, and that's how you can have it all, you know?
Right. I think Natalie put it really well. The other Natalie, not myself, had said, I'm really articulate. I said this great thing now. Natalie, the other Natalie said, you can have it all depending on what you want. Mm-hmm. Or
exactly.
And so, you know, a lot of times, but that's why it's hard for us as women. We have to manage our expectations in ways that maybe men don't.
I disagree with that too. And that's probably a whole nother podcast. So we'll just hold off on that argument too, because I don't think guys are even given a chance or choice. You know, it's just assumed that they just want to go into the workplace and they have no, you know, they're not sad about leaving the kids. And, you know, they don't have that feeling that right. moms have, but they do. And you know what? Maybe it's easier for them because they aren't given the choice, but we are. That's where the problem comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. But they, you know, well,
I disagree. Well. I don't agree with that only because Josh is so opposed to it. We talk about it. I said, you know, okay, I'll go to work. And you can stay home. He's like, no way. I couldn't do what you do. And I don't want to. I love coming home to both of you guys. And, you know, Josh, him and Reese just break my heart together. They laugh and, you know, he tickles her and plays with her. And, you know, weekend time is all about family. But he does not want to be home 100%.
And, you know, and I think that that's his individual choice. Just like I know a lot of moms who couldn't stand to stay home. You know, right. So the point is they have a choice. And everyone has their own individual wants and needs for their happiness. So they could have it all, say, if maybe they want to stay home and take care of the kids.
But there are expectations for women that go beyond just working. And when all members of the family are home, there are still tasks that women take on that have nothing to do with whether or not we work today. That, you know, sociologists call it the second shift. Where even if we both went off to work, when we come home, it's still me that does the laundry and cleans the kitchen and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's not how it is in my house. My husband cleans the bathrooms. He makes dinner. He folds laundry. He cleans up dishes after if I make dinner, he does that. So there's not any of that here. So, I mean, I think every household is just different.
But you have to realize that that's not the norm. You know, it's no, becoming more common, but
I agree with
most
that, but
women
I think
still
most guys
do face okay. all of the second shift. Even, you know, you're lucky enough to have someone who helps with the second shift, so it's not just you.
And I completely agree with that, but I don't think that guys feel like they can have it all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, we'd have to ask them. We don't know. We don't know what it's like to be a guy. But Clayton is more like Josh, where he's like, "Oh my gosh, I would kill myself if I did this every day."
He's at home. Doesn't he stay at home? Like, you know, he goes into work on the weekends.
But
stuff,
I'm usually home too when he's home. It's rare that he gets. You know, he works from home a lot of times. But like on Tuesday of this week, I went into Manhattan and he stayed with the babies and I had to take the bus cause it's a long story. But, so he had them pretty much all day from sun up until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And when I was coming home, he texted me, leave the car running. I need to go to a restaurant for a cold beer because,
and I feel the same way about, you know, three times a week. Like last night I was just like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, tired. It doesn't mean that we're any happier.
Right. Yeah, he goes, you know, I felt like I didn't want this to be hard. I wanted to show you that I could do it and it would be easy because I do it every day. And he goes, but it got the better of me. It's hard. It's not that I didn't love being around my children, but it's harder than I thought it would be.
Well, it's all, it's everything that goes along with it. The same for Josh. It's not that he doesn't love, he loves spending time with Reese. I mean, more than, you know, I even know, but it's everything that comes with it. It's the prepping of the meals and the cleaning up and the changing the diapers and, oh, go throw a load, you know, downstairs, take her with you. Then don't forget to go, you know, change, put him in the dryer 30 minutes later. It's all those little things
right.
that just add up and you just don't have time to yourself.
Right. Like Jennifer said one time, you know, you don't know what it's been like for me. You didn't have to go to the bathroom with someone sitting on your lap.
Yeah, I do it every day. You think I'm like loving it and like, oh, this is having it all. You know, I don't think so. I mean, I think parenthood is something we just, you know, we have to accept and love and we do. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't buy into the whole men think they have it all. I mean, I would personally love it if Tom could work from home with me every day. And I wouldn't expect him to be taking care of Elle. But I know that that FaceTime, regardless of whether he's, you know, wiping her butt or sitting over there on the computer working, I think it's still important and it helps.
Well, we could continue to talk about this for a long time, but we're definitely getting long today. So we'll wrap it up. Does anyone have a little victory they want to share before we go?
I'll take it.
Okay, go ahead.
And I just shared with you, girls, that Reese got into preschool, which is kind of a big deal in San Francisco because it's such a crazy process that I've written about before. But she'll be going 2 to 3 days a week starting in September.
Yay. That's huge. That's a big victory.
Thank you.
Big, big for victory. Mommy and for Reese.
Yeah. She'll be gone 3 hours each of the days that she's at preschool.
Well, we'll look forward to following her progress on mommybeta.com, which is where you can find all of our blogs. You can also find us on Twitter at mommybeta and facebook.com/mommybeta, or you can email mb@mommybeta.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We really enjoyed talking to you all today. You can always ring in on what we had to say because we love hearing from you. Have a great week, everyone. Love your kids. Kiss your babies.
Thanks, girls. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.